and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. I just want to take a moment this morning to remind us all that when we're in church, we're not supposed to be visiting with the person next to us, you know, or engaging in idle chit-chat. We're here to worship and to pray. And when somebody tells me that they come to church and they have a hard time focusing because of all the conversation going on, it pains me. You know, I feel hurt for God and for our purpose here today. And I try to conduct the services in an orderly and a godly fashion, you know, on time and with dignity. And the altar boys don't visit back there. They're not allowed to chit-chat and come late. And things like that. So I really want us to be reminded of that. If we could keep our conversations to, I don't want to say to a minimum, but to none, because that's not what we're here to do. We have coffee hour, and we could spend that time visiting and enjoying each other's fellowship today. Today we have a special lunch, too, so there's even more food available, and hopefully more time to be with one another and visit and catch up on these things. But not in church, not during the services. Today's gospel, I love today so much. Today's the Sunday of Meat Fair, and the gospel we just heard and the epistle are so powerful. They really cut to the heart of what we believe and why we do this. You know, everything you want to know about our faith, really you can extract from the readings today. It's so beautiful, and it's important that we hear it. Did you ever hear somebody say that our faith is complicated? You know, orthodoxy is complicated. I don't like to hear that, and I always challenge them back, and I say, well, it's not complicated. It's hard. It's hard. If you're doing it right, it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be hard. You know, it's a cross we bear. But it's not complicated. Sometimes we make it complicated, or we'll say the devil likes to make it complicated. One of my professors at the seminary, I quote him all the time, Father Tom Hopko, he used to say, and this blew my mind, he said, people will find anything to focus on, to put all their energy into, to distract them from the cross, the real message of the faith, which is the cross. Bearing your cross and staying faithful to the end. So even in the church is like a playground for that when you think about it. You know, we get obsessed and involved in all sorts of things that, when it comes down to it, are kind of external. I mean, they're important in their own way. But, you know, icons. What style of iconography are we using? You know, what tone are we chanting in? Who's singing? What languages are the services conducted in? We can obsess about all these things, and we can make them so important and forget what's really important. So that blew my mind. I thought, wow, you can go to church and be interested in it, you know, and want to be in the choir, and maybe you want to read and whatever, but you can be distracted away from the heart. And what we have in today's gospel is the heart. Jesus tells this parable of the last judgment. This is what's going to happen at the end. You know, literally or figuratively, it's judgment. And we always have to remember that. We are called to answer to God. He is our judge. Know first of all, beloved in Christ, that, and I call you that because you're loved by God, right? That's the first thing we have to remember today. If we don't already know that, if we forgot, or if we resist it, God loves us. Period. And if you need proof, just look over here at the cross. This is God coming into the world and showing us how much He loves us and to what degree. Because nobody did anything to earn that, you know, or to win that. God sent His Son into the world when we were miserable and dead in sins, remember. So this is a free gift. This is God's love to us. So in our life, we have a choice to make when we hear the gospel, when we're taught it, when we receive it somehow. Are we going to take this on? You know, are we going to accept this, what God has done for us? And what we do as Christians, we're baptized. That's our first step. That's the first step in a life of living, as we call, a life in Christ. this new life that Jesus has given us, this new relationship with God. We are children of God. We can call Him Father, but there's all kinds of conditions, right? Call Him Father if you really see Him as Father, if you see yourself as united to Him through Jesus and the cross. That means you forgive, right? Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. We don't hold anything back. So God forgives us to the degree that we forgive. But when we accept this, when we take on this life in Christ, we're called to respond. You know, we can't just say, Jesus saved me and I'm okay, and then go along our merry way. No. There's work involved. And today tells us exactly what the work is. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was in prison and sick and you visited me. All the things we do to the other person is what God counts, what God looks at. Do we really love Him? God loves us first. What's our response? Love Him back. We obey God. We keep the commandments. And all of the commandments, Jesus says, in fact, He says all of the scriptures, everything in the Old Testament, the law, the Psalms, the prophets, all of that is summarized in one commandment. You know, you can recite the Bible, if you want, in one sentence. And that's love God. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then, of course, He elaborates the gospel. It's in Deuteronomy, actually. Love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. You know, so like that degree with everything, your whole fiber. Everything you're about has to be loving God. And then the companion of that is love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself means, and it does love yourself, because we know in this fallen world, some of us don't love ourselves very much. Or there are people who hate themselves or treat themselves badly. God means love your neighbor as if your neighbor was you. There's no separation, see? If we have life in Jesus Christ and He died for us, your neighbor is not your neighbor, it's you. We're all one. We don't see people as other, strangers, different. We're all one. We share everything. So we treat them as if they were ourselves. And then the question, who is my neighbor, right? Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? The lawyer tried to, you know, he tried to find a loophole, basically. Well, what can I get away with? You know, who do I have to love? And Jesus told him that parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan who helped the Jew, sworn enemies, people that didn't even speak to one another or recognize one another. Right? The Levite passed by, the priest passed by, the Samaritan, the enemy of the Jew, is the one who did what was called, he was called to do, what God calls us to do. You know, stop, minister to him, pour oil on his wounds, put him on his own camel, take him to an inn, and pay for everything. And whatever else he needs, you know, you give it. That's the great... So if you ever wonder, who do I have to love? You have to love your enemy. You have to love the person you don't think you have to love. And as we heard in today's gospel, you have to love the least. The least. The people that are hurting, the people that are poor, the people that don't have anything, the people that are imprisoned, the people you don't like to associate with, the people you might cross the street to get away from, or you avoid eye contact with, or you're driving by and you sort of look ahead because you don't want to have to think about what they need or how rotten the world is. You know, you have to love each and every one other person completely and totally without exception. That's what we're called to do. And that, beloved in Christ, is what we're going to be judged on the last day. It's kind of an interesting gospel. I like to say, one time a year in the Orthodox Church we get to preach, you know, hell, fire, and brimstone. Because there it is, right? The river of fire and eternal punishment and all that. It can be kind of scary There's an icon of that. I don't know if anybody's seen it, the icon of the Last Judgment. We don't have it here in our church. We just never got it. We could get it one day, but it's pretty intense. You see the Lord sitting on the throne. You see the sheep and the goats. You see the river of fire. And there's all kinds of scary, intense things going on about judgment, you know. So we might hear that and say, oh, God is going to, you know, he's going to separate us like that. And he's going to throw us into fire if we don't do what he says. Well, that's one way of looking at it, but that's a little oversimplistic, right? The real heart of this is, if we didn't love the neighbor, if we didn't feed the sick, if we didn't visit the prisoner, welcome the stranger, all those things, as Jesus says, you didn't do it to him, so you didn't love him. God loves us first. If we don't do those things, we fail to love God. So our punishment is really of our own making. We're separating ourselves from God. Nobody ends up in that fiery pit that doesn't want to be there. You know? We make that our own because we reject the love of God. Remember, God loved us first. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to get it. He loved us first. The one thing we could do in response is love back. Love God. How do you do it? The gospel today tells us exactly how. I brought this out because at Vespers last night. Now, Lord, I have cried at Vespers. There's always Tikera, these hymns that are read between the verses. And there were four last evening for Meat Fair. Today's a Sunday of Meat Fair, and they talk about that gospel. But just listen to this. It really just, it hammers at home. This is a summary of the gospel. See, it's good to come to church. You get the, I always think it's good to come to church, but especially Vespers, you get the interpretations that you don't always hear. And here's what it says. The trumpets shall blow, and all mankind shall rise trembling. They who have done good shall rejoice with joy, expecting their reward. And those who have done evil shall tremble greatly, moaning and shaking as they are sent to suffering. Separated. Right? Sounds horrible. I'm not done yet, but sounds horrible. Right? Is this what's going to happen? But why? Right? Wherefore, O Lord of glory, be compassionate toward us and make us worthy to be of those who love thee. There it is. For thou art good. So the ones on the right side, the sheep, love God. And that's why they're at the right side. That's why they inherit the kingdom. If we don't love God, then we choose not to. You know, we choose not to do these things. We have to ask ourselves that question. Do we love God? You know, and how much? Because you can't love God without loving your neighbor. And your neighbor is the person you may not think is your neighbor. So just remember that for today. Wonderful gospel, but even just as great is the epistle today. It's Meat Fair Sunday, and we know in the Orthodox Church we're about to enter into Great Lent. So Meat Fair is carnival. It's the last day to eat meat before we stop eating meat, before we enter into Great Lent and Pascha. So, you know, we do things gradually. We don't ask you to stop cold, but rather today we say goodbye to meat, and next Sunday to the other things. Cheese, eggs, dairy, oil, wine, and those other things that we avoid during the fast. But the great thing about the epistle is today, on a Meat Fair Sunday, did you ever think you'd hear those words? What does St. Paul say? First thing in the epistle, if we eat, we're no better off. If we don't eat, we're no worse off. Wow. What is that, right? Now, don't misinterpret. We can misconstrue that and say, oh, it doesn't matter if we fast or not. We'll just do away with fasting. No, fasting is good. A little bit of context for that epistle. The early Christians, the first century, were living in a pagan world. And everywhere they went, if they went to the market, they were buying food that was sacrificed to idols. You know, it might be sprinkled with blood from an animal sacrifice to a pagan god. Now, to a Christian, this might be scandalous, you know, especially to a Christian who is, as St. Paul says, weak in their faith. Now, Paul knows, and he tells us, we know there's only one true God, right? So an idol is nothing. It doesn't mean anything. meat sacrifice to an idol, it makes no difference. So Christians had this freedom where they could actually buy food in the common marketplace and eat it, you know, without it being a sin. Because to them, an idol didn't mean anything. That's what they did in the marketplace, and it was a pagan society. But they didn't engage in it, and they didn't believe it, so they were free. But if somebody is scandalized by that, so somebody of a weaker faith said, oh, that meat was offered to an idol. We shouldn't eat that, should we, right? Then out of respect to that person's faith, the Christian should not eat it, right? That's not our situation today with fasting. We fast because we eliminate the external things. We emphasize that we don't live by bread in this world. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So we take away the luxury foods, meat, eggs, dairy, oil, wine, things like that. That's part of our fast. But we can apply the same principle that St. Paul uses, right? Whatever we do, whatever our practice, if we fast at home or if we don't fast, what's more important than anything? Taking care of the weaker person, right? Taking care of that person whose faith might be weak, not scandalizing them, right? That's the most important thing, see? Ultimately, it won't matter, did we eat or did we not eat? We should not eat or not eat to the condemnation or the judgment of our neighbor. That's what the Pharisee did two Sundays ago in that parable. He did all the right things. He fasted. He went to the temple. He prayed. He paid tithes. Those are all good things to do. And a faithful person does that. But he used it against the guy next to him. And he said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this scum or whatever, this person that I'm not like. So he used it against his brother and it meant nothing, see. So whatever we do for fasting, beloved in Christ, and the church teaches it's good to fast. You know, fasting's inconvenient. It really infringes on our life. We have to prepare, we have to think, we have to make things special. But in a way that's good. It's good to infringe on our life because our life is really about God. And preparing for Him is what Great Lent is. It's preparing for Him to come. So if it makes us uncomfortable, if it inconveniences us, great. But what it shouldn't do, and I'm going to be talking about this in the next couple Sundays, I'm not going to say too much today, we shouldn't obsess about it, right? Because then it just becomes one more distraction. What's in the food? You know, what are we eating? Is there dairy? What do we have to prepare? How is it going to taste good? I'm going to a party. Someone invited me. What am I going to eat? Am I going to have my own plate? You know, should I? It's too much. What we need to do is just eat simply, modestly, and give thanks to God. And the church gives us good guidelines to follow. Follow them, unless there's a reason you can't. And then pray about that. Remember, though, everything comes down to love of the neighbor and taking care of the weaker person. So whatever we do in the church should be the same thing. One quick story, and then I'm done, about a monk on the holy mountain. They were coming to him because they wanted to know how to establish a new church in the community. And this is an issue, you know, like if we had a, I mean, I hear things like that here. What should we do? How should we fast? How often should we have services? So they're asking, you know, should we do daily services? Should we do once a week? Should we be really rigorous in the fasting? You know, what should we make the people do? And all these questions about how to organize a worshiping community. And this very pious monk told the people, he said, whatever, do whatever, but whatever you do, make sure it's for the glory of God, for the good of the neighbor, in other words, love the neighbor, and not in any way to condemn or judge anyone who does differently. So that's a good rule of thumb for us, for our Lenten practice. Anything we do in the church, do it for the glory of God, to the building up of the neighbor, and in no way judge or condemn anybody who doesn't do exactly what you do, beloved. Thank God for today. Thank Him for having this wonderful parable about the last times. And we pray earnestly that we would be accounted as those who love God and not rejected His love for us on the last day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.